Hey everybody, welcome to Chiefs Live. Josh Looney with you here from One Arrowhead Drive. It's Chiefs Live right back at One Arrowhead Drive, brought to you by your Midwest Ford dealers. Rocking solo today, Mitch Holtis on travel. B-Rad busy getting ready for the Chiefs' third preseason game. Seattle Seahawks are in town. Watch it tomorrow locally. 65 TPT broadcast, although I will, in Brad's honor, give you a fun fact of the day. Brad told me at lunch today, Comet the dog from Full House also played Air Bud in the movie. Blew my mind. Air Bud and Comet, same dog. That's B-Rad's contribution to the show. Let's get right started. It was Dwayne Bowe week, of course, here in Kansas City. The Chiefs franchise receiver signed his tender, his one-year tender, on Friday, right before the team left to go to St. Louis. In fact, he met with a lot of his teammates in the locker room as they were getting ready and in their suits to head on the flight to St. Louis. Stayed back, passed his conditioning test, passed his physical, worked with some strength and conditioning coaches. And as you can see now, this past week was his first back on the practice field. He practiced on Monday in shorts and a helmet, and then this is Tuesday's practice right here. It's first day in full pads. Dwayne Bowe's done enough to where he's going to get on the field and get involved with this first team offense this week against Seattle. He's going to get a couple plays. How has he looked, though? A lot of people ask me, how has he looked? Honestly, he looks pretty rusty, and I don't think it's a bad thing. It's about what you expect. This team is about 3 weeks in. Dwayne Bowe looks healthy. He looks crisp running routes. It's just getting into that offense. Of course, he's going to look rusty when players have been running through Brian Daboll's new offensive system, new terminology, for the better part of, I guess you could say, 3 weeks. But you go back into the 15 practices he had this offseason, Dwayne Bowe is going to be a bit rusty. Now, does he look rusty catching the football? No. Does he look rusty running routes? Not really. I just think he looks rusty a bit in the offense, and I think once he shakes off this rust, he will be ready for the regular season. He's putting in a lot of extra effort. In fact, on the side fields this week, he's worked a lot with Matt Cassel, a lot with Brian Daboll one-on-one, even sometimes while other things are going on in the practice. The team will be doing team 11-on-11 work. You might have Ricky Stanzi and Brady Quinn and Alex Tanney running with the ones at times while Cassel is over with Brian Daboll and Dwayne Bowe working one-on-one on routes and route progression trees. So they're doing a lot on their own on the side to get Dwayne Bowe ready. So he will play on Friday night. Just how much remains to be determined. I'm going to guess about two series. We'll see. Crennel said a couple plays. Here's what Dwayne Bowe had to say. Let's first start on Monday after his first practice. This wasn't in pads, but it was first on-field session with the Chiefs.
What's going to be the hardest part for you? You look like you're pretty fit, but the conditioning, football conditioning, or the mental thing, learning this new playbook?
I mean, I wouldn't say the hard part. You know, I'm coming in extra early in the morning. I'm staying late after practice in the meeting room with Matt and Coach Diaz to overload me to get me into that playbook so I can expedite the position.
How different is it? How much of a shock is it to see different words, different things?
I mean, it's not a big shock. I know with a new OC come new terms, so I was prepared for it, and I got half down today, and you know, tomorrow we'll see where I'm at.
What time you get here in the morning? You say you get here early?
6:30.
6:30.
6:30, bright and early.
Have you got enough time to get ready now for a season opener?
Only time will tell. You know, I'm here early. I'm staying late. Try to expedite the opportunity to get out there and play as soon as possible.
Dwayne, what were you guys able to accomplish today?
A lot. Formations, terms, and new routes.
How different is the language from Daboll than it may have been in the past?
I wouldn't say it's too different. It's not as different as it was last year. You know, I had a few OCs in my career, so all it is terms and learning one word and marries the next. So.
Is that difficult, though? I mean, you have a lot of different guys, a lot of different things, a lot of different languages coming at you year in and year out. How difficult is that?
I won't say it's difficult. I'm a professional. It's my job to learn, no matter, you know, who's at the bat. And I'm learning it pretty fast, and we'll see what tomorrow takes.
What do you think of Brian Daboll so far?
Oh, man, he's a good guy. He's intense, and he wants guys to learn and play fast, and that's what he's teaching me.
A lot more relaxed, like you can actually go out and do your job under him?
I would say that as time go, you know, it's my first day, so I can't put it in those terms. But as of today, you know, he's pretty cool, and he's going every period when I'm off, he's going over stuff with me, trying to get me in the midst of things.
What do you think some of the other wide receivers out there right now? Have you been following how they've been doing out at camp?
No, not really. But I've been today, catching up with some guys and reading some articles, the guys been doing pretty good without me. So that's a plus, knowing that they can get something done without the main guy.
They look like they've been significant. Did they look like they're better than they were last time you saw them?
Most definitely. You know, practice make perfect, and another year under their belts, they're only going to get better. So
while we were in St. Joe, what were you doing?
I was training.
I was training. What were you doing? Where were you training? Who were you training?
You know, that part really doesn't contain to today, but I'm here, and I'm here to do my best and get back on this team.
So how big is this year now for Dwayne Bowe? Now that you're in, you're a one-year deal, you're going to have to go through this again. Just how big a year is this for you?
I'm as big as it was last year. You know, every year it's a big year. Somebody's trying to come in and take my job, and my job is to go as hard as I can to prove that I'm the number one guy.
How comfortable would you be playing Friday night?
You know, that's the coach's decision. You know, if I can learn all the plays before then I'm there. You know, if it takes a little longer, it takes a little longer.
Is Kansas City a place you'd love to finish your career at?
Oh, my gosh. The fans, everybody here supports me no matter, you know, what decision is made. And that's what I appreciate about Kansas City.
Were you getting a little antsy being away from the team?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And I was communicating with some guys and keeping base. But, you know, I'm here now, and that's the key point.
Do you have to know every play for Friday night, or can't you just have a little package just to get there? Because, you know, that fourth game's the kind of game that they don't want to play a lot of the starters because of that fourth game. So this is kind of an important game, this third one. What can you do?
We just have to see. You know, every day I'm going to take it in stride and learn as much as possible and, you know, hopefully get ready to play for Friday.
All right, why the timing now? Why come back to
I mean,
now?
The business part is over with. You know, I signed Friday, and the great part about it is I'm here now helping my teammates.
Yeah, Dwayne Bowe is back, and his presence in the Chiefs offense will most certainly help his teammates. In our chat room, people talk about him discussing if he's your number one receiver. I said, look, Dwayne Bowe's number one in Kansas City, even with his absence, until someone else takes the number one job. Obviously, John Baldwin has had a solid training camp and a solid offseason, but until someone produces the way Dwayne Bowe is produced in Kansas City, there's no question Dwayne Bowe is the Chiefs' number one receiving option. I'll go back to what Mitch Holthus and I talked about over training camp, though. I think this is going to be an interesting year for Chiefs with the offensive weapons they have. And you fantasy footballers out there, maybe you're not going to want to draft any Chiefs, at least very, very high, because you're going to have 1 week. You might have Jamaal Charles with 125 rushing yards, and the next week Peyton Hillis may have all the touchdowns, or maybe he's your touchdown vulture. But in the passing game, I think it's going to be game plan as well. If the Titans are running the seam well, those guys, it might be Kevin Boss, it might be Tony Moyaki, it might be Dexter Cluster on the loops that lead this team in receiving. You look at the first two preseason games, what's happened? Steve Mannieri, then Kevin Boss, they've been your receiving leaders. If you start having one-on-one coverage on the outside, is Dwayne Bowe your number one target? Is Jonathan Baldwin your number one target? How about Steve Breaston? Steve Breaston's been pretty quiet throughout this preseason. I think there'll be a couple games this year where he's not quiet. I think it's going to be kind of back and forth game to game. I don't know if Bowe's going to be a 100, 100, 100, 100 consistent with a touchdown each and every week like he was back in 2010 and even at times last season. I think it's going to be kind of back and forth with this team. So fantasy footballers, beware. I think the Chiefs passing game is going to be like the Mike Shanahan offense of running backs. You never know who's going to be your leading receiver each and every week, and I think that will hold true this preseason. Granted, knock on wood, as long as everyone is healthy. So the key for Dwayne Bowe was learning offense, or at least a package of plays to get into this Friday's game. We talked with Matt Castle this week about what he's seen in Dwayne Bowe and the progress he's made in the playbook.
Dwayne Bowe, well, he's out here. I don't know anything else, but I know he's working. He's been in here early and been in here late, and he's working hard with the coaches to get caught up to speed. So we're excited to have him back, and he's trying to adjust and get assimilated as quickly as possible.
How does it affect you having him, another receiver, a guy you've worked with in the past?
Well, it's great to have Dwayne back, like I said. You know, obviously we haven't had a ton of work out here on the field, but, again, just having him in the building, having his leadership in that wide receiver room is great. And, again, he's working hard, and when he's ready, I'm sure the coaches will have him out there.
Can you help him with the vernacular? Can you help him in-game if he gets in the game a little bit?
You know, we're helping him as much as possible. He's getting caught up to speed right now. And like I said, he's doing a heck of a job getting in here and dedicating the time and energy to learn this offense. And all the coaches, including myself, are just trying to get him caught up to speed.
So we know Dwayne Bowe's going to play on Friday night against Seattle, but how much? As I said, I think probably 1-2 series is going to be the most. It'd be a disservice to take Dwayne Bowe when he hasn't been in football game shape and play him, I think, even a full quarter. I think it would be a disservice to him. You start getting into possibilities of pulled hamstrings, things where guys' bodies aren't used to it. These guys have been through, the rest of this team has been through Romeo Crennel's full training camp in the heat. They're in football game shape. Dwayne Bowe's in good shape. He's physically in good condition. He looks the part, but I think it'd be impossible for him to be in football game shape. So I'd expect to see 1 to 2 series of him this Friday. Here's what Romeo Crennel said about his plans for Dwayne Bowe.
Well, I will play him some. Just give him a couple plays here and there. But I don't think that he's ready to play a full game or anything like that.
You imagine he might play a little more than some other guys against Green Bay, just to get him into the physical part of it?
Well, I will have to see how he does this game before making that assessment.
Now, it is an interesting predicament for Romeo Crennel, because you assume this game the starters will probably play past the half, into the third quarter. Last week they played about till halftime in St. Louis. If Dwayne Bowe is playing 2 series, kind of like the Chiefs starters played in game 1, how much does he play against Green Bay if Crennel follows the traditional stair-step method of playing players? Because if you've got your starters playing in the third quarter tomorrow night against the Seahawks, that means you'll probably dial them back, and maybe Matt Cassel and company is only going to play 1 or 2 series against Green Bay in the finale. So do you keep Bowe with those players, or while Matt Cassel and everyone's toning down, is Bowe out there working with Ricky Stanzi, Brady Quinn, whoever it might be at quarterback with the 2s against Green Bay? It's an interesting situation for Bowe. He's probably on a different schedule than everyone because of what has happened and his holdout from training camp. It is an interesting position this week, though. I think just 1 or 2 series for Dwayne Bowe. Here's what Dwayne said after Wednesday's practice just yesterday about being ready for the Seattle game.
Toughest part is just getting acclimated, being out here with the team, new guys, new words, just learning, but I'm coming along pretty smooth.
Dwayne, you ready to play in a game yet?
I think so. Coach said I'm ready from what he's been looking at, and I'm going to go play until they tell me not to.
How much do you think you could handle Friday night?
I can handle as much as I can until Coach say, you done did the job.
You feel like you got what you wanted out of staying out?
I'm here now. I'm feeling good, learning to play, so that's all I can ask for.
A couple more guys.
What do you want to see from yourself Friday in the game?
To continue where I left off, being dominant, catching the ball, finishing, blocking downfield, and helping his team win.
In my opinion, best case scenario for Dwayne Bowe: plays 2 series, catches 1 pass, not a touchdown, nothing that's out of bounds. I'd like to see him just do a nice little post route or something over the middle, catch at 10 to 15 yards, get a little bit of yards after catch, and then take a couple licks from some defenders. That way he gets the catch and run, he gets the yak, and he gets to get hit. Then he runs a couple more routes. Maybe he catches another ball or so. But basically, he gets in without injury, but he gets his hands on the football. He gets to run after the catch, and he takes that first hit that all these guys experienced about 2 weeks ago against the Arizona Cardinals. And you get him out of there. You make sure he's healthy, and he keeps learning the playbook. Because really, you still have, 3 weeks until the Chiefs, about over 2 weeks until the Chiefs host the Atlanta Falcons on September 9th. So Bowe has an opportunity to learn this playbook. I think really it's just getting him game acclimated, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens in game 4. I wouldn't expect him to play a full half if the rest of the starters are only playing a few series. We'll take a quick break. When we get back, we'll take a look forward on what to expect this Friday night between the Chiefs and Seahawks.
I pull up to the game, and all I smell is barbecue. I see everybody with their jerseys on, just out tailgating. Everybody's yelling, honking their horns in their cars, offering me barbecue on the way before the game. I mean, everybody's just friendly. I mean, it's just a wonderful city to play football in, man. Our fans are good in the stadium and out of the stadium. They just treat everybody with respect, and you gotta love that. This city is built like a family. This is a great place to be, and I love it.
The NFL, it's an evaluation. You're evaluated from the day you come in to the day you leave. But you can't keep everybody. They're going to have some bumps and bruises. They have to push themselves more.
Hurry up, let's go!
This team has more ability than it's been around here in the last couple of years.
is going to go. See you later.
Welcome back to Chiefs Live, everybody. In my hand right here, you've got the depth charts for Friday night's game, the old flip cards, what I'll be holding on the sidelines, what they pass out in the press box, and you flip over here to Seattle offense, and Seattle and what they've turned in has made no questions about who their number one quarterback is this week. It's not just Russell Wilson who's starting this game. It's Russell Wilson who is listed as the number one quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. A little bit of an extra storyline for this Chiefs-Seahawks game as the rookie out of Wisconsin will make his first professional start of any kind against the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, up here you've also got Terrell Owens listed on this roster, Golden Tate. It's an interesting Seahawks roster. I'm more impressed with their defense than their offense, particularly in the secondary. I think that with the Pro Bowlers that Seattle has in their secondary, this is a good test for Matt Castle and the ones, especially if both teams are able to go with their starters into the third quarter, or at least through the first half. Romeo Crennel touched on kind of his game three prep a little bit this week. This is the game where you typically see more and more game planning purposes. In fact, on Wednesday, the Chiefs had a little bit of a longer practice than they've had throughout the week, and we saw our first scout team. I hadn't seen a whole lot of scout team reps throughout the preseason and what the scout team is doing. You had some reserves running Seattle offensive plays against Kansas City's defense and vice versa. So the Chiefs have seen a little practice a little bit, at least one day or a half day of practice for Seattle in terms of game plan. Here's what Crennel said about formulating that entire game plan for the Seattle game.
Well, I mean, every game you play is important because you can learn something from it, you can teach from it, and game one was important. You know, game two is important, and so game three is important. I don't know that it's more important than the first game or anything like that. If we can get better, that means that that's where the importance lies, particularly after coming off of a loss in the second game.
So what exactly are Romeo Crennel's plans for personnel-wise? I keep saying this third quarter and playing in a little bit after half. Romeo hasn't given that away, but my investigative reporter skills, there's 4 years to go off of in Cleveland, everybody. And when you've got that, you do have a little bit of pass for Romeo. And when you look at the third quarter in that third preseason game, 3 of Romeo's 4 years in Cleveland, the majority of his starters have come through the first half, and then they played one series of the third quarter, obviously mimicking halftime adjustments and going through that entire process. The only time that didn't happen, that occurred in 2007 when the Browns had Charlie Fry and Derek Anderson quarterback controversy in the middle of their training camp, and they kind of split the first half reps. In fact, you go to 2008, Derek Anderson was the Browns starting quarterback. He had a concussion in game two. So Brady Quinn, who's now back in Kansas City, got his first professional start of any kind for the Browns in game three. And even he, who was listed as number two on the depth chart going into that season behind Anderson, even he in the spot start went into the third quarter for one series with the first team Browns offense. So I would expect, based off of history, to see Matt Castle on the offense, Derek Johnson in the defense, go through the half and then play one series to mock those halftime adjustments, and then you start bringing in the reserves. So the third preseason game, always kind of more action involved when you look at what the third preseason game can be. This is really the full dress rehearsal when you prepare for a preseason game. Matt Castle talked about his preparation for game three this week and the possibility of playing late. That's what he's expecting to do.
How important is this game?
You know, I think every game's important because everything and every chance you get an opportunity to go out there against another opponent is another opportunity to get better. And I think that this team's made progress, but at the same time, we need to make a lot more progress. So it's another opportunity for us to get better this week against a good opponent.
So the progress, the good opponent, quarterback speak from Matt Castle. He also said in there, in that same press conference, their media session, call it what you will, that he expected to play into the second half. But then, of course, Romeo doesn't tell these guys because he doesn't want them thinking about other things. He wants them to just approach the game with the mindset of, hey, I'm going to play the whole game and I'll take you out when you're out. My guess, starters play at least through one series of the first quarter. Of course, who's going to come in for Matt Castle? Game one, it was Brady Quinn. Game two, it was Ricky Stanzi. Game three, it is Alex Tanny. Now, it's a big question mark. Romeo Crennel talked about the backup quarterbacks and who's ahead right now. Wink, wink, we're not sure. Let's check it out.
No, we'll see. I tell you what, I told you that they both have been close, and we wanted to see what the competition was. The circumstance for both of them have been just a little bit different in the games, you know, with who they've been with and things like that. So I'm not ready to say one or the other right now. And so after this last game, I said I'd go through this week and then see what it looked like. And so we'll be through this week here pretty soon, and then we'll be at the game, and then we'll know.
Look, the Chiefs haven't named a number two quarterback. If you just go based off history, one after the other, it's probably Brady Quinn's turn, but we'll see if that ends up happening Friday night against the Seahawks. Obviously, Ricky Standy struggled last week in St. Louis working against the St. Louis twos with the Chiefs twos. He was 3 of 4 passing, but in his 4 offensive drives, 2 turnovers and just 14 net yards for the Chiefs offense. Standy also took 4 sacks, double clutched a little bit, looked a bit skitterish at times, especially when he was forced to move in the pocket. So Standy, a rough game. Quinn, on the other hand, had a very good game, I thought, against St. Louis. The touchdown pass he delivered to Jeremy Horn might have been one of the best passes that the Chiefs quarterback has thrown this preseason as a whole. Quinn was standing in that pocket, took a couple hits, and hit Horn in stride. Then Horn did the rest, leaping over defenders for pretty much a garbage score. The score was 31-10 at the time, and it was against the reserves. But I really liked Brady Quinn. He was very Matt Cassel-esque in the second preseason game. He was 5 of 6, just like Cassel was in the first preseason game. And, of course, Matt Cassel continues to put together a solid and efficient preseason. It's what you want to see out of your starter. Hopefully both backups can improve based off of their performance. A lot of people ask me, what about Trickshot? What about Tanny, the Chiefs number 4 guy, yet to get a single snap? He actually warmed up, probably most of you didn't know, in St. Louis on the sidelines. I think if the Chiefs got the ball one more time late in that game, it would have been Tanny's offensive series. So that leads me to say I think Tanny probably has a chance of playing this week. He took some team snaps this week in practice. But with that said, how hard is it going to be to squeak in Tanny if Matt Cassel is going to go into the third quarter? And if you still want to get Quinn and Standy some work, the numbers game is not kind to Alex Tanny. There's a roster cutdown date on Monday by 4 p.m. The Chiefs have to go from 90 to 75 players. It'd really be disappointing for Tanny if he's part of that cut list on Monday and doesn't even get a single snap in a game. Be like, hey, come on, guys, give me a chance. But if the 4th preseason game, that said, if Matt Cassel isn't playing as much, if that's the plan for him, maybe you keep Tanny on and give him the whole second half against Green Bay and see what he can do. So a lot of people want to see what Tanny can do. He has taken some team reps this week in practice, which would lead you to believe that there might be some time scripted in for him. He was warming up at the end of that game against St. Louis, which leads you to believe that the Chiefs had a plan if they could get the ball back to at least get him a series. So we'll wait and see exactly what the future holds in store for Alex Tanny. But 0-for-2 for Tanny, preseason games, no appearances for the kid, and a lot of people want to see Trickshot in there. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about other things facing the Chiefs. Sean Smith, the possibility of him coming back to Kansas City, and, of course, how the Chiefs move forward from the 1-game suspension handed down by the league this week on outside linebacker Tom Bahali. We'll be right back on Chiefs Live.
I pull up to the game, and all I smell is barbecue. I see everybody with their jerseys on, just out tailgating. Everybody's yelling, honking their horns in their cars, offering me barbecue on the way before the game. I mean, everybody's just friendly. I mean, it's just a wonderful city to play football in, man. Our fans are good in the stadium and out of the stadium. They just treat everybody with respect, and you gotta love that. This city is built like a family. This is a great place to be, and I love it.
The NFL, it's an evaluation. You're evaluated from the day you come in until the day you leave. But you can't keep everybody. They're going to have some bumps and bruises. They have to push themselves more.
Hurry up, let's go!
This team has more ability than has been around here in the last couple of years.
at the 40. Charles is going to go. See you later.
So a blow is dealt to the Chiefs this week in the news the league handed down of the suspension of outside linebacker Tambaha Lee, breaking the league's substance abuse policy. Lots of people asking me, what was it that he did? We've obviously seen, if you read reports, Pro Football Talk, there's some leaked information about what it might be. Nothing is proven and nothing will be proven on exactly what caused the suspension for Tambaha Lee, because it's protected by the NFLPA and the league office. Not to say that they can't leak that information, but Tamba obviously... Well, let's just get to what Tamba said about it. Here's Tamba's quote on the matter right here. He's not going to tell you exactly what it is, but as we look at it, I apologize to my teammates, the Hunt family, the Kansas City Chiefs organization, and most importantly, our fans. Tamba goes on to say, I accept the discipline from the league and will return week two of the NFL season with a commitment to erase this mistake with my play on the field and my conduct off of it. In there, that's what's shocking about Tambaha Lee. Both of those in that last bit of his quote, his play on the field has been proven to be very good, and so had his conduct off it. That's why it was such a shocker to see him get this one-game suspension. He will not play in the Chiefs season opener against the Atlanta Falcons. In my opinion, it's a huge blow to this defense because of the offensive tack the Falcons have, particularly in the passing game with players like Julio Jones and Tony Gonzalez. You look at the Chiefs' banged-up secondary. Brandon Flowers still hobbled. Kendrick Lewis sidelined with a shoulder injury. Do those players come back? Are they able to play in that opener? They still have time to heal. And certainly, I think it's a possibility both of those players are back on the field. But then again, Brandon Flowers hasn't practiced in over 3 weeks, and Kendrick Lewis had his arm in a sling leaving St. Louis. So I think there's also a chance that neither one of those guys play. And if you've got a beat-up secondary, what's the best thing to help a beat-up secondary in reserve is to have a pass rush. Well, then your best pass rusher is suspended. So it's not a good situation at all for the Kansas City Chiefs as they prepare not just for the rest of this preseason, but if you actually look forward to the regular season. Now, Tambaha Lee's status for the preseason is the same. He's been practicing with the ones this week. He's been practicing in full throughout the week. He won't have to start serving that suspension until week one. He'll also be fined an additional game check in addition to being suspended without pay for the Chiefs' regular season opener against the Atlanta Falcons. In my opinion, a big blow to the Chiefs, especially if Lewis and Flowers are unable to go as well. Scott Pioli commented on the matter as well this week, issuing a statement to the media. Obviously, we are disappointed and will miss Tambaha Lee during the suspension, but the NFL's policies are very clear, and we respect the league's decision in this matter. That's about all you can say. It is very clear what the league has in place, and once they come down with the ruling, you respect that ruling. There's a lot of teams that are dealing with a lot worse rulings than the Kansas City Chiefs, rulings such as the Chiefs' opponent early in the season when the Chiefs traveled to New Orleans, obviously dealing with the league ruling in the bounty case there. Romeo Crennel talked about Tambaha Lee and his disappointment in hearing that his top pass rusher will be suspended for their regular season opener.
Tamba will pay the consequence. You know, we're disappointed. We're disappointed for him. We're disappointed for the team, disappointed for the organization and the fans. But it is what it is. Now, Tamba is a guy who's very prideful. He's been a very good team member for this team. And I think the team will rally around him and support him as best they can.
Now, his teammates have supported Tambaha Lee. Obviously, he's let down his teammates at the same time. He's a pro, and he's been a respected member of this locker room. I don't think you can sugarcoat it. I think he definitely let down his team, and I think his teammates, when they hear that news, they were let down. But once that news is news, there's no going back. You accept the suspension and you move forward, and part of that business is being a pro and treating it like an injury, like it's next man up. And that's what veteran leader of this defense, Derek Johnson, had to say about Holly's suspension.
Like any other time, you have to other players have to step up. I mean, it's just like having an injury or anything. So, I mean, it's the NFL. So, I mean, we'll handle it like pros. So, that's the main thing. I have no really comments on that.
How disappointed are you guys in Tampa?
Not disappointed, Tampa. You know, no comment on that. I mean, we got a lot of stuff we need to do on the team. So, I mean, he'll do his time, you know, when it's time for that, and we have to get better.
Well, there's Derek Johnson on Tamba Hali's suspension. So you think, what next? What is next for the Chiefs? Who will replace Tamba Hali as that outside pass rusher opposite Justin Houston? There's a couple of names, a couple of bodies. Right now, the next man up is Andy Studebaker. Cam Sheffield's had a leg injury over the last 2 weeks of camp. He's battled. He, all of a sudden, has been able to practice a little bit, and he's expected probably, I think they'll test him before the game. I would expect him to play Friday night against Seattle based off his practice habits this week. She had another name in the mix in Cam Sheffield, who's probably the best pass rusher on this roster outside of Houston and Hali, at least at the outside linebacker position. However, he doesn't have any career sacks to his name, just 16 games played all last season, mainly as a reserve. And there's another guy, Edgar Jones. The Chiefs signed the former Baltimore Raven as a free agent midway through training camp. Edgar Jones has actually flashed this past week in practice, showing a little bit of pass rush. Can he factor into the mix? He's mainly been a special team stalwart throughout his career. It looks to me like Studebaker is going to be the guy in base, and then maybe in sub-package you figure out what you want to do. Is it Jones? Is it Sheffield? I think Studebaker, though, he's been a pinch hitter basically throughout his career. This is kind of the role he's built for. I think Studebaker is the guy who goes and gets the most snaps, and then you take a look at the rest of your roster, and is it Sheffield on third downs? Is it Edgar Jones on third downs? How do you do that? Or is it Gabe Miller? Gabe Miller's also competing for time on this roster as well. But I think the front runner for the day-to-day practices and also the snaps in the base to get the most action would be Andy Studebaker. We caught up with him this week at practice, talked about him being ready for a possible pinch hit role as a starter against the Falcons on September 9th.
Andy, how different is it playing that right side versus left side that you played so much here in KC?
It's, you know, I've played both, and so I'm comfortable with both sides.
Okay, yes. Andy, you've obviously played a big role in this team before, but does it heighten even the preparation just knowing that you're going to be counted on a lot more maybe in that first game?
I was saying earlier, I think in a backup role, you work as hard as you can every day, and you don't know when opportunity comes, and that's why you work hard every day, because you have to be ready when opportunity comes. I'll let the coaches take care of, you know, positions and who plays where and who's going to play, because, you know, they haven't talked about that with us yet. But that's why our backups work hard, just as hard as the starters, because we need our guys to be ready in a lot of positions. At any given time, we all need to be ready to step up.
Okay, Thomas.
All right, here in our chat room, Greg Welsh says, well, the pass rush needs to come from the inside linebackers, mainly Derek Johnson. Yes and no. I mean, it's an interesting point. I don't think that's going to happen in the base defense. Those guys are run stoppers. It's not going to be Javon Belcher. He's rarely blitzing. He's more of a thumper backer. If you blitz Derek Johnson, you're taking out probably your best run defender. Derek Johnson blitzes some. This defense isn't built. You see Derek Johnson getting back in the backfield. I mean, he can stunt some, but this defense isn't built for consistent pressure from the inside. The 3-4 in its nature is coming from the outside. The inside linebackers have to be more versatile and flexible than just being a pass rush guy or just being a run defender. Derek Johnson has to drop into pass coverage. He has to man up on running backs and sometimes even tight ends based on the personnel that's across from them. I don't think you can say the pass rush just needs to come from the inside linebackers. It doesn't work that way in the 3-4. The pass rush needs to come from Justin Houston, number one. He's going to be your best pass rusher on the field without a doubt, week one against the Falcons. And then on the other side, you know, is it Andy Studebaker that's kind of being that base guy in Sheffield that's coming off the edge? Who knows what it is? Studebaker, of course, in his pinch hit roles, has played pretty well. He had his first career start for an injured Mike Vrabel against Pittsburgh, who I remember a couple years ago when he had two picks in that game. He's also had some sacks and pinch hit starting roles. But most of Studebaker's actions actually come on the side opposite Hali. In fact, Hali's only missed one game in his NFL career since joining the Chiefs in 2006. So there really hasn't been a need, and I believe it was back in like 2007. So since the Chiefs have switched to a 3-4 defense, Hali has started every single game. There's been no need to find a pass rusher on that opposite side. That will obviously change, and we'll see exactly what the Chiefs can do to make up for Holly's loss. I don't think you do make up for Holly's loss, to be quite honest. He's a Pro Bowler. He's led the AFC in sacks two seasons ago. He's about the only guy to put Sam Bradford on his back the other night. This is a guy that's irreplaceable. So you need to have a different game plan going in. Justin Houston's going to have to step up, And whoever is going to pinch hit, whether it's Andy Studebaker, whether it's a number of guys, they're going to have to play their role. They're not Hamba Hali. They know they're not Tamba Hali. And then there you go. There's Hali and Studebaker pairing up. That Studebaker playing on the opposite side. One of the guys you saw in there, too, in the celebrations with Hali was big number 90, Sean Smith. Might as well bring him up. Everybody's been talking about Sean Smith this week. The fan favorite from 2010 Chiefs, who was just a backup player who thrust into a starting role following an injury to Tyson Jackson, the 2010 opener. Sean Smith goes on to start 10 games for the Chiefs. In many ways, I think, kind of saved the Chiefs' defensive line that season while Jackson was out. Got a nice contract from Tennessee last summer, $7.5 million over 3 years, ballooned up to 362 pounds last year. It was a very big disappointment in Tennessee. Vowed to kind of shut his mouth this offseason. Vowed to lose weight. Did both of those things. Still got cut before the first wave of cuts. So, of course, fans have publicly gone and tried to recruit Sean Smith via Twitter. There's a couple things that need to be answered about Sean Smith. I love Sean Smith. He's one of my favorite guys we've had in the locker room. I got to do plenty of community work things with him, whether it's at schools. One-on-one, person-to-person, I'm a fan of Sean Smith. Now, he played at 362 last year. That's far too heavy. He was cut before. Why didn't the Titans just wait and cut him on Monday? That's a bit of a red flag to me. There's some strange things there with Smith. He struggled last year when he got the big contract. Of course, he also has a history with Romeo Crennel. It's an interesting question. Does Sean Smith fit with the Kansas City Chiefs in 2012? Would it be a good player to sign? Romeo Crennel was basically asked that question in his press conference this week. I'll let Coach Crennel do the honors. It looks like we have some technical difficulties. We don't have that quote. Essentially, Coach Crennel said that he was fond of Sean Smith, and that, but he was also happy with the Chiefs' defensive line at the moment. And with that, he would leave the door open. And he was sure that Sean Smith might be calling him. So I don't know. I guess if you look back at the Chiefs' defensive line in 2010, compare it to 2011, 2012, they needed a player like Sean Smith. They'd been run all over the year before. They lacked depth. And really, they lacked experience in the 3-4, just 1 year in the 3-4. Sean Smith knew that defense. He could help guys like Jackson and Dorsey as they went into year two into a 3-4 scheme. Now, the Chiefs have evolved a little bit. So I could see the argument that a guy like Smith isn't necessarily needed. You also have a numbers crunch already on the defensive line, especially with the rise of Anthony Taribio. Is your starting nose tackle. You know Dontari Poe's going to make the roster. You know Tyson Jackson is. You know Glenn Dorsey is. You know Alan Bailey is. There's five players right there you know are going to make this roster on the D-line. Then you've got a player like Ropati Pituitua, who has gone ahead and had a very good preseason. So there's six. Does he make the roster? Amon Gordon was really important to the Chiefs last year as kind of a plug-him-in-anywhere player. There's seven that could possibly make the roster. Brandon Bear was on the roster for all 16 games last year. The Chiefs invested in him as a project. There's eight guys right there. Oh, yeah, and there's a sixth-round draft pick, Drill Poe. Who is it too early to give up on him? So there's nine guys right there that could viably make this roster, and what I named five or six that are probably locks to make this roster. Yeah, Sean Smith, there's a tenth. What do you do? Where does he rank against the guys like Gordon, against the guys like Ropati? The Chiefs have a numbers crunch at their position on the D-line, so it's an interesting question. Does Sean Smith fit? And as much as I like Sean Smith, it would not surprise me to see him here, but I question if he fits. I would question it, especially with the numbers crunch the Chiefs currently have on their defensive line. That might not be the popular thing fans want to hear, as people love themselves some Sean Smith, but I don't know. I tell you what, it's interesting. Look, scrolling through the chat room here, see if we get signed Smith, drop Gordon. That's one thing, and I guess that would kind of be one thing to measure. Amon Gordon, does he even make this team this year? That's one question to answer. And if he does, do you like Sean Smith over Amon Gordon? They're pretty comparable to what they did Gordon last season for the Chiefs, Sean Smith in 2010. That's an interesting debate there. I don't know. I think that with with the nose tackles the Chiefs have, you could possibly be keeping three. Sean Smith, of course, could probably play some nose as well. It's what he did when he originally came in here, but then he ended up playing D-end. So do you cut Rapati as the five tech? Do you cut Amon Gordon as the five tech? All great questions. You know who the starters are going to be. You know Poe's going to be on the roster, and it looks like Anthony Toribio is a roster lock at this time. And you know Alan Bailey is going to be on this roster. So it is interesting when you look at the Chiefs' options for their defensive line. I think that's about it for Chiefs Live today. That's catching up on everything that has happened this week at One Arrowhead Drive. We'll be back again next week as we round out the preseason. Thursday night, too, we'll bring in a new sideline reporter in Green Bay. The winner of the Rock the Mic contest will be announced tomorrow on kcchiefs.com. We got to our final five entries. Our man Alex from the University of Kansas, very good entry. Sterling, lots of fan votes for him. He was a guy who actually went on Kevin Keatsman's show on 810 to get some votes. And we had a trifecta of females. Rachel, whose father is a college football official, also a local girl. We had a girl by the name of Miranda from the University of Virginia, who the head coach over there for the Cavaliers went ahead and put a tweet out in support of Miranda to get the fan vote. And we also had, I believe it was Laura, who was an intern at Channel 9 Television here in town. Five great finalists. Voting has closed on KCChiefs50.com, so check back tomorrow on KCChiefs.com to see who's going to take my job on the sidelines in Green Bay for that second half of the game. Should be a lot of fun, and we'll introduce you to a new member of the 65 Toss Power Trap team. Preseason game prediction, Josh, from Nick Davis. You want my prediction on the Chiefs and the Seahawks? I say Russell Wilson gets in the end zone once, also throws a pick and takes two sacks. The Chiefs' first-teamers have an up-and-down start, but overall, they get through the adversity this time around. Turn it over the twos. They do better this week. I say close game, preseason. Let's go Chiefs 24, Seattle 17. After a tie game at half. That's my prediction, if that's detailed enough for you. We'll see what exactly happens tomorrow night. Seattle Seahawks are in town for the Chiefs' third preseason game. Thanks for joining us on Chiefs Live, brought to you by your Midwest Ford dealers. Take care, everybody.